Clockwork by Philip Pullman. Preface. In the old days when this story took place, time used to run by clockwork. Real clockwork, I mean, springs and cogwheels and gears and pendulums and so on. When you took it all apart, you could see how it worked and how to put it together again. Nowadays, time runs by electricity and vibrating crystals of quartz and goodness knows what else. You can even buy a watch that's powered by a solar panel and sets itself several times a day by picking up a radio signal and never runs a second late. Clocks and watches like that might as well work by witchcraft for all the sense I can make of them. Real clockwork is quite mysterious enough. Take a spring, for instance, like the main spring of an alarm clock. It's made of tempered steel with an edge that's sharp enough to draw blood. If you play about with it carelessly, it'll spring up and strike at you like a snake and put out your eye. Or take a weight, the kind of iron weight that drives the mighty clocks they have in church towers. If your head were under that weight, and if the weight fell, it would dash out your brains on the floor. But with the help of a few gears and pins and a little balance wheel oscillating to and fro, or a pendulum swinging from side to side, the strength of the spring and the power of the weight are led harmlessly through the clock to drive the hands. And once you've wound up a clock, there's something frightful in the way it keeps on going at its own relentless pace. Its hands move steadily around the dial as if they have a mind of their own. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Bit by bit they move and tickers steadily on toward the grave. Some stories are like that. Once you've wound them up, nothing will stop them. They move on forwards till they reach their destined end, and no matter how much the characters would like to change their fate, well, they can't. This is one of those stories. And now it's all wound up, we can begin. Part 1. Once upon a time, when time ran by clockwork, a strange event took place in a little German town. Actually, it was a series of events, all fitting together like the parts of a clock. And although each person saw a different part, no one saw the whole of it, but here it is, as well as I can tell it. It began on a winter's evening, when the townsfolk were gathered in the White Horse Tavern. The snow was blowing down from the mountains, and the wind was making the bells shift restlessly in the church tower. The windows were steamed up, the stove was blazing brightly. Putsy, the old black cat, was snoozing on the hearth, and the air was full of the rich smells of sausage and sauerkraut, of tobacco and beer. Gretel, the little barmaid, the landlord's daughter, was hurrying to and fro with foaming mugs and steaming plates. The door opened, and fat white flakes of snow swirled in to faint away into water as they met the heat of the parlour. The incomers, Herr Ringelmann, the clockmaker, and his apprentice Karl, stamped their boots and shook the snow off their greatcoats. "It's Herr Ringelmann," said the burgomaster. "Well, old friends, come and drink some beer with me. And a mug for young, what's his name, your apprentice." Karl, the apprentice, nodded his thanks and went to sit by himself in the corner. His expression was dark and gloomy. "What's the matter with young thingamajig?" said the burgomaster. "He looks as if he swallowed a thundercloud." "Oh, I shouldn't worry," said the old clockmaker, sitting down at the table with his friends. "He's anxious about tomorrow. His apprenticeship is coming to an end, you see." "Oh, of course," said the burgomaster. It was the custom that when the clockmaker's apprentice finished his period of service, he made a figure for the great clock of Glockenheim. "So, we're to have a new piece of clockwork in the tower. Well, I look forward to seeing it tomorrow." "I remember when my apprenticeship came to an end," said Herr Ringelmann. "I couldn't sleep for thinking about what would happen when my figure came out of the clock. Supposing I hadn't counted the cogs properly. Supposing the spring was too stiff. Supposing... Oh, a thousand things go through your mind. It's a heavy responsibility."